The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the Mishnah, in Masechta Avos, Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin, it states Gedol HaTeira, Yeser min HaKohuna u'min HaMalchus. Torah, the crown of Torah is greater than the crown of Kohuna, of priesthood, and the crown of Malchus, kingship. Sheha Malchus nikneis b'shleshi mailus. Because for one to come to kingship, he has to have 30 mailus, 30 attributes. Va'kahanim be'esrim va'arbo. And for Kohuna, priesthood, he needs 24. Torah nikneis b'memchest vorim. And Torah is acquired through 48 attributes. Be'eluhain. And then the Mishnah starts to elaborate them on them. In the past number of years, we've given shurim on this, and we've been slowly going through these 48 attributes. And we would like to continue this evening. Now, when we say attributes, we mean qualities or disciplines, character traits, personality traits, and manners of conduct. For the acquisition and possession of any wisdom, one needs preparation. When it comes to Torah, though, one needs even more. Because wisdoms are from this world. Torah, which is the ultimate of all wisdoms, comes from another world, the Olam HaElyon, from higher worlds. And this is what the sages tell us. If someone will tell you that there is wisdom by the nations, believe him. There are wisdoms. There is wisdom by the nations. But if he'll tell you that there is Torah by the nations of the world, do not believe. Torah was given to Israel. It comes from another world. And therefore, just like for physical wisdoms, a person needs great preparation. For the wisdom of Torah, this he needs preparations, not only worldly preparation, but both from the guf and the nefesh. He needs preparation both from the body and soul. And therefore, it's not so easy to come to Kinyan Torah, and it takes Memches Dvorim, 48 attributes. This evening we would like to speak about the four of these attributes, beginning with the Chof Zayin, the 27th. This is what we've given Shurim in the past on. The 27th is Asomeach Bechelkei. It's necessary for a person to be happy with his lot. This is an attribute that actually everyone should have. As it states in the beginning of Perek Dalet of Avos, Ben Zema said, Ezahu Osher, who is the wealthy one? Asameach Bechelkei, he who is happy with his lot. This refers to Inyone Olamazer, to worldly possessions and worldly wealth. And the reason for this, and this is very, very important, especially in the world that we live today. The reason for this is because perhaps the greatest blessing that a person can have in this world is what we call Shlemus. Shlemus means totality. where he is fulfilled, where he is satisfied. The word, the English word fulfilled, comes from the word full. The opposite of shleimus, of shalem, is chosar. One of the greatest curses that a person can have in this world is when he is chosar, when he is always lacking, he is always in need. There are some people who have a type of personality or makeup where they say, I don't need anything, I have enough, I have everything, my needs are very small. There are other people who always need everything. I need this and I need that, and I must have this and I must have that. Now generally, when we look at this superficially, we think the difference is between an osher and an oni, between a wealthy person and a poor person. The wealthy has what he needs and the poor is lacking. The fact is, in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, there are two words for a poor person. Oni ve'evyon. And evyon comes from the word to'ev. To'ev means someone who constantly needs. And evyon is such a poor person who is in dire need. The truth of the matter is that this trait, or this distinction between people, is not at all dependent on wealth or poverty. We look in the world and we'll find plenty of wealthy people whose lives are a life of constant pursuit to gain more because they need more and they're lacking and they have not filled their appetites yet with what this world has to offer. They are hungry. All right, they're not hungry for bread. Bread doesn't lack from the table, but they're hungry from other things. If it's a fancy car or a fancy yacht or better homes or more businesses or whatever it might be, to the point where we can look around and find many, many wealthy people whose lives are broken, and they'll tell you they're not fulfilled, their lives are bitter. Many are even driven to ultimate extremes of who knows what. So we can't say that wealth gives fulfillment. Wealth gives satisfaction. We don't find wealthy people. We do find some. But many, many wealthy people we don't find that say, I have enough. Let me sit down and enjoy what I have. We're not talking about a person has no ambition. Now, on the other hand, when we speak of people who are not necessarily wealthy, you find many, many people who are satisfied and they're fulfilled. And they have enough. And their needs are satisfied and fulfilled. So we see that it's not dependent on wealth and on poverty. And this is what Ben Zayma tells us in the Mishnah before, Eze ho osher, don't make the mistake. Don't think a wealthy person is a person in accordance to his bank account. You have plenty wealthy people who are evyanim and evyon, to'ev, where they need more. Wealth is not measured by what you have. Wealth is measured if you have enough or you don't have enough. He who has enough, then he's wealthy. He who doesn't have enough, he's chosar, he's lacking. He's ta'ev, he needs more. He desires more, he's lacking. So what then is it measured with? By the one who can say, but who can honestly say, Yeshli kol, I have what I need. It's interesting to note that when Yaakov returned from his home, from the house of Lavan, and he met Esav al haderech on the journey, and he sent a lavish gift to Esav, and Esav said, he says, my brother, don't give me such gifts. Yesh li rov. He says, I have so much. Don't give me. You take it. And Yaakov said, I don't need it. Yesh li kol. I have everything. Esav used the expression yesh li rov, which means I have mighty possessions. And Yaakov used the expression yesh li kol. I have everything. The wealthy man measures his possessions by Rav and Me'at. Mighty, a lot or a little? Is the bank balance a little or is the bank balance great? Are the properties a little or great? That's how the wealthy man measures his possessions. That's not the true measure. The true measure is does he have everything or is he lacking? The one who has everything, that's the person that's not lacking. Another person could all own half the world. But if he's lacking, then he's a poor man. So this is what the Ben Zema told us. Ezahu Osher, who is the wealthy person? Asameach Bethelkei, the one who rejoices with that what he has. And he needs no more. Now, these two outlooks are from the greatest brochas, or heaven forbid, the greatest klolis that we have in the world. The one who looks at everything and he says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, it's plenty for me. If he wants to give me more, gam borach yia, good, it'll be good. If not, it's also good. That person has gained a very, very rare brocha. The brocha of satisfaction. The brocha of fulfillment. The brocha of shlemus. And that brings a true sense of happiness to a person. The one who whatever he has, his eyes are always looking some other place. Like the Gemara says, Al yishte bekeis zeh, don't drink out of one cup and have your eyes on another cup. This is perhaps the greatest curse to mankind, because he's never satisfied. He's never fulfilled. He's always lacking. This is a broken person. And this is a person who chases and chases to fill his needs, and they'll never be filled. It's a person who all his life is chasing an example, he's chasing his own shadow. With the understanding that once he gets it, then he's found what he's looking for. And he never finds. And his whole life is pursuing something which he cannot grasp. Unfortunately, tragically, the Western culture is just the opposite. The Western culture is built on acquisitions and more acquisitions and more acquisitions, and built on greed. See, what you have is not enough. You can always get more. And this is why we find, one of the reasons why we find so much disaster and calamities in the Western culture. The Chazal tell us that someone who is shalem, who is fulfilled, this is like a natiya hazoka. This is like a strong, healthy tree. and is not reliant on other things. Someone who is constantly in need, always lacking, this is like a very, very weak tree, and it's always reliant. Actually, this is what the sages say, a person who's always reliant on matnas acherim, on things that other person people give him, that's the opposite of strength. Because a person who is sholem be'atzmai, he is self-reliant, he needs no more, this is the sign of strength. A person who's always dependent on other people always giving him or finding things from other places, this is a sign of a weak existence. And this is what the sages say, Aseini Matonis Yichya, that a person who disdains other people giving him things, that's a great degree of life, because he lives in his own. And this is why it's called Ashrei. The Mishnah of Ben Zema said that Hasameach Bechelkai, someone who Sameach Bechelkai, who rejoices in his own portion, is Ashrecha V'Tevloch. He will be fortunate and it will be good for him. Ashrecha Be'elam Azeh V'Tevloch Be'elam Abo. Fortunate in this world and good for him in the next world. The word Ashrei comes from the word Ishur. Ishur means strong. He is strong. And therefore he'll have this world and the next world. The other person won't have either world. So this is a quality which is an important quality for everyone. But it's a special quality when it comes to Kinyan Torah, to the acquisition of Torah. Firstly, if a person is always hungry for worldly pursuits, so then how can he have desire for Torah if he constantly has to fill his needs, to fill his stomach with inyone elam azeh? How can he seek Torah which is from another world if he's constantly pursuing this world? So this is one reason why the one who comes to gain Torah must definitely be hasameach bechelkai, happy with his lot. But a second reason is because there is no perfection like the perfection of the Torah. The Torah is perfect. It comes from another world, as we mentioned. And a person has to be able to identify with Torah. And to identify with Torah, he himself has to be a sholem. Someone who's a chosar, someone who's a weak individual, constantly reliant on so many other needs, cannot identify with Torah. That is the ultimate of shleimus, of perfection and fulfillment. But a person who has a fulfilled life and who has a strong stability, where he's, look, I have what I need, that's the one that can identify with the perfection of Torah. So therefore, an attribute that's needed for the possession of Torah is asameach bechelkai, that one must be satisfied and rejoice in the lot that was given to him. Incidentally, while we're talking about this midah, this quality, we'll mention one other point. And that is, it's interesting to note that it doesn't state hamaspik b'mu'ad, but hasameach bechelkai. There's a difference. Maspik b'mu'ad means one who is satisfied, a little is sufficient for him. This is what the expression maspik b'mu'ad. This expression is used in other places, that a little is sufficient for him. So meach bechelkai means one who rejoices with his lot. There's a difference. The one who's a maspik b'mu'ad, he says, a little is sufficient for him. He doesn't desire more, but he doesn't necessarily take joy from what he has. Asameach bechelkai, the one who rejoices with his lot, not only he does not desire more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, but he takes great rejoicing from what he has. And this is very important. It's not enough for a person to say, I have everything I need, don't give me any more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the wonderful possessions of this world, not merely to fill our stomachs, but that we should be misameach by them, that we should enjoy them. And someone who fills himself from the possessions of this world, but he does not enjoy them, this is a lack. This is a lack in Avedis Hashem and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Chazal say in another expression. Ezahu Osher, who is the wealthy person? Mi sheyesh lei nachas ruach mei eishrei. He who enjoys his wealth. Now, how many people do we have that have wonderful wealth, be it a little or a lot, but do they all enjoy their wealth? Or are they too busy worrying about it or pursuing other wealth? The Maral brings that when we say someone is wealthy, that means it has to become, this is an identification of a person, it has to become part of him. The wealthy person is someone who uses his wealth and enjoys it. And this is another Gemara. The Gemara says, Yagia kapecho kisecho. He who eats from the labor of his hands, so that the Gemara says, kol hanene mi yigia kapecho. Whoever enjoys the labor of his hands, he will have both worlds, this world and the next world. It's not enough to eat from the labor of your hands, but you must enjoy the labor of your hands, and then you'll be enjoying life. Sometimes someone might ask, why is it so important to enjoy this world? The main world is the next world. So why should we enjoy this world? All right, we have to use it, but what should we enjoy it for? That's why it states, Hanenem Yigia Kapecho is Godel Miyore Lakim. The one who enjoys the work of his hands is greater than he who fears Hashem. Because the one who fears Hashem does not only has one world, but the one who enjoys the work of his hands is Ashrecha V'Tovla, he has both worlds. He enjoys this world and he has the next world. Why is it important to enjoy this world? If one would pay attention to what he davens every day, he'll see why it's so important to enjoy this world. Because the whole davening, or a great deal of the davening, is built on praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the wonderful enjoyments that he has given to us. This is what a brocha is. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he brings the sun up in the morning, that he has brought this enjoyment to us. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can get up in the morning so we can enjoy life. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has given us strength. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on every mouthful that we eat. Now, if you're not enjoying it, how can you praise him? What's the Hodul Hashem that we should praise him and thank him? The fact is, if one, the sages tell us, gives thought to this world, we know it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created bread. He created the grains from which we make bread. That's a necessity of life. All right, fine. Then He created such things as wine and oil. The goncho sireishko vitzorecho states. The goncho are your crops, your grains. Sireishko is your wine, and yitzorecho is your oil. What is wine and oil? So on that the sages tell us, we could live without it. Can't live without bread. Without grain we couldn't live. But without wine and oil we could live. But plays a very important role in man's life. It says, Yain yisamach levav yenesh. Wine comes to help a man rejoice. Mora says, one of the reasons wine was created was l'sameach s'avelim, to bring simcha to the mourners. And oil is yitzor. It says oil brings radiance to a person. So the oil and the wine we could live without, but it's very, very important. Then there's another level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And there, these were the peiros ha'ilam, the fruits of the trees. Now the question is, why did he create the fruits? What did he create fruits for? So that, the rabbis teach us, the tainuk. Now that man has what is essential, and not only does he have what is essential, but he even has what is not essential, but very important. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him something else. Something for enjoyment. And this is Peiros ha'ilam, the fruits of the tree. From the fruits of the tree came such products as honey, devash tamorim, devash ta'enim. What for? For enjoyment. Bring some sweetness into his life. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this for? He did it because he wanted to be mesameach hasabriyos. He wanted to bring joy to his creations. And that's why it states in the Gemara that when someone sees a beautiful fruit and he doesn't taste from it, that's an affront to the Creator. He'll have to answer for it. It's an affront. Do you know what goes into creating a fruit? Could all of the wise men in the world create a fruit? No. And this is why we are constantly making brachas. To be maketev, to bring this recognition and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful joy and wonderful world he gave us. If our world looks like a miserable world, that's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part. That's because what man has done to it, what we have done to it. But he created a beautiful world. There's a whole perek, a whole chapter in the in Masechta Brachos that deals with what you see. When you see his beauties, you're obligated to make a bracha, hareya. You see his greatness and his beauties, you must praise him. To the point where it states, kol ha'neshoma tehalel ko. Al kol neshima u'neshima, that we must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the very air that we breathe from that enjoyment. So therefore, when we speak of b'sameach b'chelkei, firstly it means that we must learn to be satisfied with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. What he doesn't give us, don't worry. Be satisfied with what he gives you. Because satisfaction is the greatest brocha that a person can find in this world. The constant lacking and the constant needing and the constant chosar, that's only the evyon, that is from the greatest clawless, heaven forbid, the greatest curses. And if he wants to identify with Torah, he has to be a satisfied, fulfilled person. at least in this world, then the Torah will fulfill him on another sphere. But if he's a person that's always in need and always lacking, can't identify with Torah. But secondly, it's not enough merely to do with what you have. That's not enough. But you have to teach yourself. And it's not difficult. Because no matter how little a person has, you can't imagine what he has. Like when we make in the brochas, many times when people say, what do you have? So we start looking at our bank accounts. When we make in the broch in the morning, they didn't start with the bank accounts. They started with the fact that the person got up in the morning and he has another day of life. And they talk about the person that he was able to stand up. And the fact is that he can walk on dry land. See, we start way down the line. So it's not enough to make do with a person has. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to rejoice in what he has and to enjoy it. So therefore, this is HaSameach Bechelkei. And this is a prerequisite to come to Torah. In this vein came to my mind something that I saw a long time ago in one of the Shiridas from the old Tel Zerov, Rabbi Yisrael Leif, Bloch Zecher Tzadik L'Brocha. When we speak of a dissatisfied generation constantly looking, always seeking for more things, he writes something interesting. In Yiddish there's an expression zu reißen mit der Hashkocha. It's an expression I don't think we hear much today, but we used to hear it often in Tells. Zu reißen mit der Hashkocha means don't fight with the Hashkocha. Hashkocha means the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't fight with the Hashkocha. In Yiddish there's another expression, Dorten is Alamo Besser. That means over there is always better. What does that mean? There are many people who have the nature that wherever you might be, wherever they might be, Dorten is Besser. Over there is always better. We have a comparable expression in English by saying the grass is greener on the other side. He writes like this, and this was said over often in Tells, that in a situation that a person finds himself, if it's a very bad situation, all right, naturally he must try to improve it. But there are those people that whatever situation they'll find themselves in, they'll always say, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong situation. I'll do better some other place. If they're in one business, they say they should be in another business. When they're in another business, they say they should be in this business. When they enter one course in university, they say, no, it should have been the other course. If they're in the other course, they'll say another course. If they're in one yeshiva, they'll say they should be in the other yeshiva. They'll go to the other yeshiva, they'll say they should have been in the first yeshiva. See, there are people who have that nature. And these people are people. There are people who go to great lengths to try to be meshane es matzovim, to try to change the basic situation where they're found in. We are commanded that we must always try our best to improve a situation. Must try, but not too hard. Not too hard. Better work from the situation that you find yourself in than going to all sorts of extremes to try to change the entire situation. See, he writes like this, and actually this is a Shir Adas which is on Parshas Neach by the Dor HaFloga. Because he claims this was one of the But this is what he's writing, that this is one of the chatoim, the sins of the Dor HaFlogo. This was the generation that tried to build the tower to Babel, to the heavens, the tower of Babel, Babylonian tower, because they wanted to reisen mit der Ashkocha, they wanted to uproot themselves from the master supervision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, "V'hinei shemetz chet shel Dor HaFlogo motzosi bezeh." He says, this we find in people also, all the time. That a people will go to great extremes to change their situations. And they never ask themselves the question that why am I in this situation to begin with? If I brought this situation upon myself is one thing. But why am I in this situation to begin with? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here because this is where he wants me to be. And maybe this is where I'll have my greatest success. He says, it's not within the structure of Emuna, of having faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go too much in the future. And that a person tries to organize his life from the beginning to end. In other words, to supervise his whole, the fate of his whole future. Now, he has to rely on Hashem. But, he said, but besides that, he says, anyone with seichel, though, and a little experience of life, will know that afilu lefi divrei ha-teva ha-poshut, he'll know that even aside from Emuna, it's impossible for a person to totally organize his future. Because it's impossible for a person to know what is around the corner, to know things which are concealed from him, that his future could and futures of others could depend on. And therefore, he said, we're commanded to naturally always try to improve our lot, but not too much. Don't go overboard. And rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that this is the Hashkocha of Hashem and he will lead you in the proper ways. He gives an example. He says, I'll give you an example. He says, because many times in a situation where we were put, not by ourselves, so we have to say it must have been a hashkocha, and we think it's an awful situation, and we try our best to uproot ourselves from that situation, little did we know that our fortune lied right in this situation, and we're running away from a good thing. He says, an example. Zichreini, he says, I remember. Lifnei hamilchoma neiro, the Rabbi Yosef Leiv died in the 1920s. So this was after the First World War. He says, I remember before the First World War. Here in the city of Telz, there were two balabatim, mikurovim zelezeh, and they were very friendly with each other. And they were in similar businesses. And their businesses were doing pretty well. But they had heard, Telz was a little town, that there was a much larger city not far from Telz. And they had heard that if they will move their businesses there, then they will strike it rich. It'll boom. So both of them decided, they were in separate businesses, both of them decided that that's what they must do. They must uproot themselves from Telz and their families and their businesses, go to the other city, and there they will have Atzlocha Rabba. One of them succeeded. He moved his whole family to the other city. It's a true story, he's telling. Moved the whole family to the other city. He succeeded in doing so, in reestablishing himself, and behitzliach, and he met with great success. The second one, no matter how hard he tried, this fell through and that fell through. So the premises fell through, and maybe the bank loan fell through, whatever it was, he wasn't successful. And he never had to stay in Telz. And he had harbe agmas nefesh mizeh, she'ol lo yo'olsa biyodeh. And he was very, very upset with this. And not only he was upset, but when he saw the success that the other one was having, he was even jealous of him. And he held the osin mamish, he held that this was a real strike, a real curse and a strike of bad luck. Shortly after this, it wasn't long after this, that the First World War broke out. And all of the Jews from that big city had to flee from the city. And they ended up in Golus, Ruslan. They ended up in the Golus, in the exile of Russia. And there, they never went through great sorrows. And this businessman was amongst them. And he went through enormous sorrows. And he says, Rachmana Litzlan, he lost his wife, he lost all his children, he lost his business, and he became a dire oni, the Evian, a dire, broken, poor man. The second one that remained in Telz, against his will, was Hofach HaKol, the table. Not only he remained fit, but all of a sudden his business started to take off, and he became a wealthy man. He says, what do we see from here? We see that exactly that what one thought would be his greatest success turned out to be a death warrant. And what the other one held would be his death warrant took out to be enormous success. And he was saying, this is what they've always said, Surais netzufil mitei hashkocho. See, don't fight too much with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brings another example. He says, no matter how clever we are, it cannot be left to our abilities. He says another example he brings, which is very, very, very good example. He says, by Yosef and his brothers. The brothers, Yosef had a dream that he would be a king and all the brothers would bow to him. When the brothers heard this, they said, never. Yosef will be a king over us and we will bow to him? Never. If anyone will be a king, they said, it will be Yehuda, not Yosef. And they decided to make sure that this dream will never come true. So what did they do? They went and they abducted him and they sent him down to Egypt to guarantee that this dream will never come true. To them it looked like a good plan. But if we look at it with the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was the worst thing they could have done. Had they left him in Eretz Canaan, he would have never become a king. They sent him to the place where there he will become the king, and there they will have to bow down to him. So here they were taking something into their own hands to resolve a problem, which they thought would be a resolution. And they didn't realize that the problem would have been resolved itself. And they created the problem. So this also has to do with what we're speaking about. That a person must be maspik b'mu'ut v'asameach b'chelkei. Doesn't mean that he should not constantly try to improve his situation. That doesn't mean that he should not use his seichel. A person's obligated to use his seichel. He's obligated to do this. Rav Gifter, my Rebbe Rav Gifter, used to always say, people always would tell him that I'm in a situation where I can't learn. I'm in a situation where I can't learn. So he used to say, and he would tell me this many times, he said, what do you mean a situation you can't learn? Whatever situation you find yourself, you sit and learn. It's a different way to look at it. And this was how he led his life. Whatever situation he was in, so he made it where he should be able to sit and learn. Unless it became impossible, there was something else. And he was in many, many difficult situations in his lifetime. But there he sat and learned. Something else he told me. See, people used to say in the yeshiva, if I had a better chavrusa, I would learn better. I don't have a good chavrusa. One day he told me, he says, "Ich verstehe nicht." He says, "I don't understand. Was alle reden wegen chavrusas? Why are they all talking about chavrusa?" He says, "When I was bocher in Telz, he says, wer ist gewesen a chavrusa? Einer was gewollt lernen." He says, "Who was a chavrusa when I was in Telz? Who was a chavrusa? Someone that wanted to learn, that was a chavrusa. He didn't want to learn, so that's not a chavrusa. But someone that wanted to learn, das ist gewesen a chavrusa. She sat and learned with him." He says, and you create a situation. It's not that the situation creates the man creates the situation. Being in a situation you can't learn. You could make it into a situation where you can learn. See? Having a chavrusa you can't learn with. You make it into a chavrusa that you can learn with. So this all has to do with what we are referring to. A second, the next mila, ha'eses siyog ledvorov. A person should make a fence for his words. Rashi says, kishemeire divreitere nizo lasi siyog ledvorov. That when a person gives out decisions in Torah, he should be careful to make fences for the decisions of the Torah, in order that people shouldn't trip in what you say. And even when he answers, he has to also be very, very careful in what he say. Says Rashi learns this has to do when you're giving Divrei Torah to others. Give Divrei Torah to others, be careful how you tell them. In order that it shouldn't be misleading, they shouldn't hear you wrong, or sometimes, if you tell them only the halacha, it might get them into trouble. You have to tell them a little more. He says, for example, like the Chachomim said, that even though you can say Krishma Kol HaLaila the whole night, but the Chachomim also sigled the word of the Chachomim said that you should say it before midnight, in case you fall asleep then and you won't say it. So Rashi learns that it has to do with one who is giving over Torah. The Maral says further, not only does it have to do with one who's giving over Torah, it has to do with his own Torah. He says, because a person must be careful how he speaks when he speaks in Divrei Torah, not for the other person but for himself. Because when a person speaks words which are not totally clear, totally crystallized, then this will distort his own thinking process. This is very important. The great Reb Chaim Brisker used to say that some people they understood things perfectly, but they couldn't explain them well. And Reb Chaim used to say that someone who couldn't explain them well, that was not a lack in his power of speech, there was a lack in him understanding it. And he used to say that you should be able to understand the deepest concepts in Torah so well that you could explain them to a child. He was a great Baal Masbir, and he was very medactic on what he said. Fact is, when he wrote his Sefer, his famous Sefer, the Chaim Halevi al-Rambam, his sons write there in the Hagdomah that they had to write every paragraph over and over and over and over again until he was satisfied. He says, no, it's not right. Again they would write it. No, it's not perfect. Over and over and over again until finally, yes, now it's right. Yeah. Now, to understand the deepest concepts in Torah so well that you could explain it to a child. Dibor and Seichel are united together. A person that speaks clearly is thinking clearly. And the thought process influences the speech process, and the speech process influences the thought processes. It works both ways. But a person that is not speaking clearly, is not thinking clearly, or even if he was thinking clearly, now he's not thinking clearly. Therefore, you have some people that they say what they didn't mean. I didn't mean that. And what they meant, they don't say. And the Ma'irich b'mokum shiyocho, the Ma'irich b'mokum shoyi lekatzer. They elaborate where they should have been concise. And the Mekatzer b'mokum shoyi roi la'irich. And they're too concise in a place where they should have elaborated. This is not only bad speech, but this is bad thinking. And therefore, this is what it means, asusiyug l'dvorov, put a fence with your words, that your words should be, you should train yourself when you are learning, and you're learning with a chavrusa, or you're even saying it over to yourself, or you're discussing Dibrei Torah, that your words should be exact. And he brings the Gemara Masechet Erevin, Daf Nun Gimel Amar Aleph, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Bnei Yehuda shehikpidu al lishenam niskaimu torosam biyodam. Bnei Golil shelehikpidu al lishenam le niskaimu torosam al yodam. That the Bnei Yehuda who were exacting with the statements of Torah, Torah remained by them. It was never forgotten. The Bnei Golil that were not exacting, they didn't say what they meant and they didn't mean what they said, and they said a little like this and a little like this and so forth and so on. Torah leinishkayim b'yodam. The Torah did not remain by them, but it was lost. So therefore, when a person is speaking of Torah, his words have to be b'mida u'b'mishkol. He has to weigh them carefully. How he says it, how he structures it, what he says, because this is not only for the te'elis, for the benefit of the listener, this is for his own benefit, because it'll have an influence on the thinking process. Iruva dibur mevi iruva seichel. When you have a confused speech, this brings confused thought. I would say this also refers to, in a degree, When you write Dibrei Torah, I mean this refers to all types of wisdoms, but here especially when it comes to Torah, that Torah is so high, but it refers to also, I would say, to a degree in the writing of Torah, that when one writes, he shouldn't just write; he should be careful to structure his writing perfectly. Even though I'm not speaking about writing to publish, see? When he writes it down, derech limud, he's writing in order to learn. He should structure his writing perfectly. Also, b'midah b'mishkol, he should weigh it carefully, because for the same reason, that just like the speech influences the mind, writing to a degree also. That was the 28th. The 29th is Eino Machzik Teva La'atzmai. Eino Machzik Teva La'atzmai. A person that learns, he does not grant to himself, he does not show to himself, grant to himself a self-gratitude that he's learning. In other words, he does not give himself a yashukeach for learning. Now this is a Mishnah before, where the great Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai in Perek Beis Mishnah Ches said, "Im lamadeta Torah harbe, al tachsik teva la'atzmecho." If you have been zeicher, you merited to study a great amount of Torah. And a person studied a great amount of Torah, so he feels he should, first of all, I mean, he has a right, he should feel very happy with what he did. But, he said, don't give yourself too much of a yashikeach for doing it. Ki lekach notzarto, because it is for this you were created. Rashi says, b'chol ma shelemed, eina mispeil b'liboy. Everything that a person learns, he should not give himself self-praise for it. Ela eime b'liboy, but he should rather say to himself, hadover mutol olav cheva. It is a chev. It's obligatory. It's an obligation what I did. And not give himself too much self-praise for it. It's interesting that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is the one who said this in one of the previous Mishnais. Why? Because on Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when it talks to Im Lamadeta Torah Harbe, if you have learned much Torah, the Gemara says on him in Masechta Sukkah and other Masechtas, Lehiniach Dover. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai not only learned a great deal of Torah, but leheniach dover, he left over nothing that was not learned. It says leheniach dover mi mikro, umi mishnah, umi gemara, and it lists off so many things that Rashi and several of them say leisparish. I don't know what it's referring to. Not only Rashi didn't learn it, he didn't know what the whole subject was referring to. This is Rashi Hakodesh. So it doesn't say that he learned a great deal. It says leheniach dover, he left nothing over. This was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, and now it's Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that is saying, not here, but in the previous Mishnais, im lomaret Torah harbe, if you learned a great deal of Torah, al tachsik tevel atzmecho, don't praise yourself too much about it. Ki lekach notzarto, because this is why you were created. What is the reason for this? One reason is, the simple reason, is because if a person learns Torah with the attitude or with the direction that he's doing something very, very, he's doing something. Well, he should have the attitude that he's doing something great. He is doing something great. There can be nothing greater than studying Torah. But he feels he's doing something which is optional. Okay. Something which is midas chassidus. Lifnim l'shuras adin. He's doing something which is above and beyond the requirements. If that's a person's attitude, then when things get difficult, so he bottle, he'll stop. But if someone learns with the attitude that I'm doing something which I am obligated to do, so then even when it becomes difficult, he carries on. This is the simple meaning, but there's a deeper meaning. And that is that whenever a person does something, we have two categories. We have what is called derech chiyuv, derech hechrich, which means something which is required, something which is imperative. And we have what is called derech reshus, lifnei mishur hadin, something which is optional. In life, all of the time, when you do something optional, your link to that what you're doing is also that type of link. It's a micro. It's optional. it's haphazard. It's good to do, but you don't have to do it. So this is the link to it. Lahabdil, I'll give you an example. Someone who plays soccer or golf on Sunday. It's extracurricular. Okay? So his whole attitude and his whole involvement is extracurricular. Doesn't look at it like his profession. But when someone does something which is mukhrach, he has to do it. It's imperative that he must do it. It's derech chiyuv. Like his job. That's a different attitude. If you have someone who plays golf for a living, or he plays soccer for a living, then he's not going to look at golf or soccer the same way as the Sunday golfer will look at it. When someone does something which is absolutely imperative, for example, eating or drinking or sleeping or making a living or supporting his family, his whole involvement and his whole attachment becomes derech hechrech, derech chiyuv, something that has to be, and it becomes part and parcel of his life. When someone does something which is merely optional, reshus, so his involvement becomes optional, extracurricular. It's good if you can do it, but if you can't, you can't. Torah is derech chiyuv. When we learn Torah, it's not because merely it's good to learn Torah. No, we have to have a different outlook and approach to Torah altogether. We have to have an approach to Torah, ki heim chayenu ve'erech yomenu. It is our very life. It is our lifeblood. Our life depends on it. We cannot look at it as something which is extracurricular. This is the story with Rabbi Kiva and the Romans. The Romans decreed that whoever teaches Torah will be put to death. Mora says that Rabbi Kiva went, and he was Niskapsu, and he went and he gathered together groups of Talmidim and he taught Torah. And they came to Rabbi Kiva and they said, "Aren't you afraid, Akiva?" The Rav said, "They'll put you to death. Aren't you afraid?" So he gave the story of the fox and the fishes. He says there was a fox, and he came to the pond of water, and the fishes were running or swimming around, and he says, "Why are you swimming around so fast?" And they said, "Because the bigger fish are chasing us." So he said, "Come out on the dry land, and I will protect you." So the fish left. They said, "Foolish fox, if in the water where our life is reliant on, we're in danger. So you expect us to find refuge on the dry land where our life is not reliant, where we do not live?" Same thing Rabbi Kiva said. He says, "If by learning Torah and kiheim chayenu ve'erech yomenu, and this is our very life, and still our life is in danger, you give me an etzah to stop learning Torah to save our lives, how can that be?" And this is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meant when he said, "Al tach siktev la'atzmecho ki lekach neitzarto." Do not praise yourself too much if you've learned a great deal of Torah, because ki lekach nosato, because this is what you were created for. So this must be the attitude when one comes to learn Torah if he wants to acquire the crown of Torah. He cannot approach Torah like something which is extracurricular, some type of weekend exercise. Then it will only remain that, and his attachment will remain to that, and he will not acquire Torah. He has to approach Torah that his life depends on it. His very life depends on it. And this is why he's studying Torah. And then his attachment becomes that. Then it's a different Torah. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Beis Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Perek Alaf Halacha Ches Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Chayev B'Talmud Torah. Every Jew of Israel is obligated to study Torah. Bein Oni Bein Osher, whether he's poor, whether he's wealthy, bein sholem begufa, bein bal yisurin, whether he is, has all of his organs, or bein bal yisurin, or if he's a person who has great affliction, bein bocher, whether he's a young boy, bein sheyazokim gorl shetoshas keichai, even if he's an old man that is weak, afilo hoya onia mispanish minat stoko umakse al psochim. Even someone who's so poor that he has to go beg for charity. Afilu bal isho uvonim. Even if he is married and he has many, many children. Chayev likveya leizman letalmud Torah biyayim ubelaylo. He has to study Torah, set aside time for Torah during the day and during the night. As it states, v'gisa bayayim alaylo. Ad emosai chayev lilma Torah. Until when is one obligated to study Torah? Adjei Meisai. Until the day of his death. Shenamar pen yesura milavovcho kol yemei chayecho. Lest this is forgotten or removed from your hearts all the days of your life. V'chol zman shel yasek b'limud u'sheicheach. And as long as a person doesn't study, he forgets. So here we see. You treat it as a weekend exercise. It's better than nothing, but you won't acquire Torah. It has to be treated as part and parcel of one's very life. And just like one has to eat every day, and one has to drink every day, and one has to make parnos every day, one has to learn every day. Whether he learns a lot or a little, this is dependent. This is dependent on his situations. This is dependent on who he is. But his attitude must be that this is just like there are certain undertakings which life requires. So is the study of Torah. Then he comes with a different approach. Then he comes with a different link to Torah. Actually, Lithuania, before the Second World War, which became the center of Torah, with so many people, their grandfathers came from there, from those areas. They had this attitude. By them, learning wasn't a weekend exercise. Learning was their life. Some learned a great deal and became Gaonim. Others learned less. Others learned a little bit. But whatever it was, they all looked at Torah. This was their life. And I always remember the story shortly after I came to this country. See, in America, there was a resurgence to Torah. But in many cases, it wasn't with this attitude. It was with an attitude when someone went to a shir, he expected the rabbi should give him a yashikeach for coming to the shir. Or if someone learned a little, he expected, you know, people should give him a pat on the back that he's learning a little. He's going to a shir, he has a havrusa, he's learning a daf yomi, whatever it is. I remember shortly after I came to this country, I walked into a shop, and there was a Jew, a Yid, and he's sitting with a yarmulke, the shopkeeper. And he has a Masechta the Sanhedrin, and he's learning. As it was Nochem Malamed Olav HaSholom, from Germiston. So I come over to him and I give him Shalom Aleichem and so forth, and we talk a little. What are you learning, Sanhedrin? So he says, Yashikeach. So he looks at me, he says, well, give me a Yashikeach. Why are you giving me a Yashikeach? I says, a Yinzel sitting in shop and learning. A Jew should sit in the shop and learn Gemara. Kum to my Yashikeach. He deserves a Yashikeach. So he looked at me with a puzzled look, and he says, Kum to Yid Yashikeach, was sitting and learning. He says, for a Jew who learns, he deserves a Yashikeach. He says, Adarabba. Medav given a Yashikeach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Mehot the Keach who sits in the learning. We should give Yashikeach to Hashem that we have the strength to sit and learn. He couldn't understand, why should I give him a Yid for sitting and learning? This was like a Jew was eating, you gave him a Yashikeach. To a Litvish Jew. See? A Litvish Jew, you're sitting and learning, come to Yashikeach. Adarabba. He says, Dav given HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Yashikeach as Miken learning. That was why the bond to Torah was so close. And then finally, the fourth quality, that's number Lamed, the 30th, that's listed here, Ohuv. He must be beloved. The Maral explains, Ohuv means where he's beloved to both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the people. To be beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to fulfill his words, fulfill his mitzvahs, be a good person, be a baal midos, be of good traits. Why must he be beloved? Because no matter how hard he's going to try to study Torah and to try to understand Torah, it is still a matona from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is still a gift from Hashem. Torah is beyond us. Mora says that it was created 974 generations before the creation of the world. So it's way beyond us. So no matter how hard we try, in the end, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to give us the Torah. This is why we always make a brocha asher nosan lonu estei rasoi. And who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give his greatest gift to? Only those who are beloved to him. So therefore, one of the prerequisites is to be beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why must he be beloved to the people? And this is two reasons. Firstly, if he's beloved to the people, then we know he's beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it states in the Mishnah Novus, it says, "Call me Sheruach Habrias Neichemenu, Ruach Hamokam Neichemenu." Whoever is a person who is enjoyed by the people, then you should know he is a person who is enjoyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. A person who people like, then that's a siman, that's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes him also. So that's one reason why it's so important that he should be ohuv, he should be beloved to the people, because it's a sign he's beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a second reason, and this is a reason that the Maral says many, many times, Torah was not given to individuals. If it was given to an individual, the only individual was Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah was not given to individuals. And the Ikar Shechina, the main dwelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not with individuals. Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with the Klal, is with Israel. And therefore, if a person wants to be Zeche to Torah, to be Zeche to Shechina, he has to be part of the klal, part of the tzibur. A person who is isolated from the people, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with him, and Torah will not be with him. This is why many times we have azores, we have prohibitions not to be mipesh, min haperish min hatzibur, someone who separates himself from the tzibur. So therefore, a person wants to come to Torah, he has to be part of the people. And therefore he has to be an ohuv, someone who is beloved by the people. Because if he's not beloved by the people and he's to the side and he's isolated, then he will not find Torah or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are four qualities: 27, 28, 29, and 30. Hashameach b'chelke, to be satisfied and to enjoy in one's lot. Ha'isasiyah g'ladvorov, to make a fence for a person's words. Ena machzik tova la'atzmai, that he does not overly praise himself for studying Torah. And ohuv, to be a beloved to Hashem and to the people. Four qualities in the 48 that is necessary for a person to have if he wants to gain and possess, acquire the Torah. We should all be zeicher to have a chag matan Torah seinu, a yontif of the matan Torah seinu with simcha, and we should see Klal Yisrael come higher and higher to the levels of Torah. We should see haromas keren haTorah, the raising of the crown of Torah, and we should see shalom and the bi'as ge'el b'mehiro v'yameinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.